You would be turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We'll start there in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So thankful for everyone's presence today as we have assembled together to worship our Heavenly Father. If you see something or hear something that prompts a question, then don't hesitate to ask us and give us a chance to maybe hopefully answer your question from the Word of God, maybe to explain better to you why we believe in Him. One of the things that propels us through this life is the ultimate destination of eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he writes, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." We know this journey that we are on will eventually come to an end. And it is this end where we place our focus, because we want to make it to that destination. Anyone who sets out to travel, the majority of the times you travel with the destination in mind. And you may get detoured, you may decide to go here or there, but your ultimate goal is that destination. And every turn that you make with the understanding that you are going to make it to that destination. Now, kind of, you know, using that as a figure, when we think about our life and the journey through this life, we have one end that we are aiming for. And that is when we cross the threshold of death, that we will spend eternity with God in heaven, dwelling in a house not made with hands. This is what the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He references this in the first five verses. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan," somebody, our mortal bodies here, "for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Catch what number 5, verse 5 said. "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing," prepared us for what? Prepared us for the time that we shed this mortal body and that we are then further clothed with an eternal body with God in heaven, or if you would, a habitation which is from heaven. And so we are longing for that point. Peter tells us that this is an eternal inheritance that we are striving for. Real quick, let's turn there and then we'll proceed forward with the point behind today's lesson. Peter makes a statement in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting there in verse number 3, this eternal inheritance. Regarding this, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." So this is our goal, to spend eternity with God in heaven, this eternal inheritance, this house, longing for the house not made with hands. So now the question is, how are we going to make it to that destination? Are we going to be properly prepared? Now that statement in and of itself, how to be properly prepared, I should say that question, can bring several different sermons. But we're going to take a very specific focus today for the child of God. How do we prepare for heaven? A few passages we'll consider today to kind of illustrate this, to help show it. But let's begin with Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1 and read down through verse number 4. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, notice what he says there in Colossians chapter 3. Start there in verse 1. He writes, "If then you were raised with Christ," notice what he says, "if then you were raised with Christ," we're talking about obedience to the gospel's call unto salvation, Ephesians chapter 2, you who are once dead in your trespasses and sins, he is made alive through Jesus Christ. So if then you were raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The first thing we notice, we've got to seek those things which are above. It's not just enough to say, well, it'd be kind of nice. But we have to seek after it. We have to pursue it. We need to put forth the effort. Seek those things which are above. He's talking about specifically where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. In our Revelation study, we looked at Revelation chapter 4 and then verse 5, or chapter 5, that is. And then we considered the whole expanse of the victory that is seen within the heaven, the heavenly imagery. We are seeking these things. This is what his instructions are. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Then he says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ as God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Then he says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he goes forward with giving us a fine set of examples of things to put away and things to embrace. But he brings this all in after telling us to seek those things which are above, to set our minds upon the things of Christ, upon the things of heaven, not upon the things of the world. Now, here's why this is so crucial. Living in the physical body that we do, there are so many physical concerns. There are so many things we have to take care of. With calendars and everything like that, we find ourselves booked nearly every day, depending on what stage of life you're in. If you have a bunch of kids at home, then you're all the blocks on your calendar are just all blackened the whole day long. There's just so much that goes on. But even when your kids leave home, it doesn't slow down. There's so much stuff within our life that we have to focus on. But in all the noise that we have to contend with, there still must be the determination within our hearts and our minds to seek those things that are above. When everything is washed away, what is left? Heaven and our service unto God. Set our minds on heavenly things. That's how we prepare ourselves for heaven. We find in all the mess that we have to deal with, some of it's good, I understand that. Some of it can be pleasurable. The joy that you get from raising children is wonderful. But when we look through all of it, we cut through it all, what are we looking at? What is our destination? And so if we will seek, if we will set our minds on things above, then we will find ourselves, not find ourselves, we will put ourselves in the path that spends eternity, that leads to eternity with God in heaven. But we have to seek those things. We have to set our minds on those things in order to effect the change of heart and then the outward change of life that must be. Now, let's go. There's more we could talk about in Colossians 3 that illustrates that and shows the application of it, but I want to go forward now. The next passage we're going to look at takes us to Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 12, let's note there in the first two verses. Having finished up what we call chapter 11, sometimes we refer to it as the hall of faith, there, hall of faith, hall of the faithful, I guess. Chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now take a minute, note there what he says there in verse number 12. He tells us to lay aside all the weights. Like a runner that's running, you lay aside all the weights that could weigh you down, and the sin that so easily ensnares us. We make the determination not to be engaged in these things because they become weights that hold us back from running the race with endurance. There in verse number one. Whether you are a Christian for 50 years or just for a handful of hours. Here's why I say that. a brother that I study with on Thursdays, his name is Brian Haynes out in Portland, Oregon. He made a trip down to Peru just recently. I mean, very recently, this past week. And he shared the story with us of a man who was near the point of death. But his wife was a member of the church. She was a Christian. And he had wanted to be baptized into Christ. And so Brian and the local preacher there, they had to lower him down into water because his mobility was gone. This is how far along the illness was. They, based on his confession that he believed that Christ is the Son of God, they lowered him down in the water and brought him back up and rejoiced with him. The next morning, Brian got word that he had passed away. Whether it's for 30 years or for a handful of hours, we make the determination to endure the race that is set before us. And you never know when that time, when your time on this earth will come, the end of it will come. So we have to endure. We can't stop. And notice the Hebrew writer tells us there, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. We keep our sights on Him, His words, His instructions. That's how we prepare ourselves for eternity with God in heaven. Let's look at another passage, going over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's pick up there with verse number 24, and we'll read down through verse number 27. Now here Paul's talking about himself. He's talking about what he has to go through to make sure that he is prepared and that he does not lose that crown of righteousness. Picking up 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, Paul uses the analogy of a race here. Now, in an actual race, there's only one prize, okay? Now, in our day and culture, you got first prize, second prize, third prize, 27th prize. As long as you complete the race, you win something or another. Back then, one prize. And so you had to run. He's telling you, you run as if there's only one prize. That means you put forth the effort, you try your hardest, you run with endurance, and you do not stop because there's only one prize, and he's conveying the effort we put to the race. Look at that again. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So we're talking about the effort being put forth here to complete the race. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. That means self-controlled. Some of your translations will read that. Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. That is, they exercise self-control so they may endure the race to receive a physical crown. He says, but we for an imperishable crown. We complete the race. But it requires self-control. That, in part, is why Paul says what he says in verse 27, where he disciplines his body and brings it into subjection, lest I, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Self-control is what we must have in place in order to run the race with endurance, in order to be able to win the prize, if you would. And he says it's not in vain. Verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. He runs with certainty. And thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, not as if you're practicing, or not as if there is someone invisible there that really is no threat to you. He says, I fight. I run. He puts forth the effort and exercises self-control so that he himself is not a cast away or cast off. Now, there's one thing to note within this particular passage, and we're going to see this in the next couple of passages. The crown, he references here this idea of verse 25, but we for an imperishable crown. In our Revelation study, we touched on this. This particular crown, the Greek word there, stephanos, is the idea of one who's won. That is, one who has won the race. One who is the victor is the one that has this crown. And so when we see within the text here that we are running this race with self-control, we are doing it for an imperishable crown, a victory that we will always have, a victory that is had in Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, though, reminds us in verses 12 through 18 that we do have to, in this manner of endurance that we talked about earlier, run with endurance, that we need to endure the temptation. That is to say, not to allow the temptations to lead us away from the Lord. And if we do, then to be able to overcome them and repent and turn back to the Lord. That's the thing about sin. There are times that we are going to sin. John writes chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "My little children, I write these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins," we are going to face temptation. And it's very possible that we will give in to sin. The question is, what do you do after that? Do we continue on sinning? Do we just stay in the same sin and keep going forward until we're ready to turn back to God? The idea is to immediately turn away from that sin and ask God to forgive us. When we are enduring temptations, if we allow ourselves to give in, we must overcome it and repent and turn back to God. So he says in James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life." There's that word, the victor's crown again. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then verses 13 through 18, he kind of talks about the source of sin. "Let no one say when he is tempted that he is tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." When he says endure temptation, he goes on to say that it's your own fault. Think about that. Now, many times we want to blame the devil. We know he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But fundamentally, the majority of sin within our life, if we will look at it very carefully, it develops by the very method that James talks about. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death, separates us from God. That's why we repent and turn back. If we allow ourselves to fail, we repent, we turn back, and ask God to forgive us. But when we give consideration to this, we must see and focus on the word endure. Endure. Self-control is required for this endurance. Again, the victor's crown. Crown of life, he references, is so important. And then let's look at one more. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This time, Paul, in his letter to Timothy, much like he did earlier in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about himself. But this one is a little more personal in that he is nearing the end of his life, the end of his service to the Lord. And he writes to Timothy in what is likely his final letter to Timothy here. He says in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Speaking of himself, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." Again, whether it's the last 30 years or the last 5 hours, you fought the fight. Paul says, "I finished the race, and then I have kept the faith." If we want to prepare ourselves for heaven, we've got to have the determination to do the, to do the same. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep our faith and not allow anyone or anything to pull us away from our service unto God. Here Paul refers to it as the crown of righteousness, the same victor's crown. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. And if we will run this race with endurance, then we will be prepared for heaven and we'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. So if you're not a Christian, I'd like for you to consider something. If you are a Christian, let's start there first. You need to make certain for the child of God that you are seeking those things that are above, that you are setting your mind upon serving the Lord. And then make certain that you're running the race with endurance. Don't get tired. Don't give up. There may be fatigue at times. You may face challenges. Paul faced many challenges, but you don't stop. You keep going. You persevere. And you keep running the race in such a way that you will win. And then finish it. Don't give up on it. Don't stop halfway and say, well, that was fun. You finish the race that is set before you. And then, kind of adding a little bit to our list here, in Revelation 2, verse 10, the Lord tells the church in Smyrna, in everything that they are going to face, He tells them to be faithful even until death, and they will receive a crown of righteousness. Now, one comment, and then the lesson will be yours. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, he writes to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. And you've got to do that. You need to, in the preparation for eternity with God in heaven, hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Don't even let yourself walk away from it. You keep yourself focused on the eternal destination with God in heaven. Now, if you're not a Christian, then we want you to understand that Jesus Christ, Hebrews 5, verse 9, He is the author of your eternal salvation, but you need to listen to Him. You need to turn to Him and ask the question, what must I do to be saved? The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a power of God to salvation, Romans 1:16. But it's waiting on you to answer the gospel's call today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and when I say believe, we're now talking about a conviction that is so strong that it says within your hearts and your mind, I need to follow Him today. A conviction that says, I'm on the wrong path. I need to walk away from sin. This is what the Bible calls repentance. And I need to be buried with Christ through baptism. So that then you'll rise up then, as Paul explains in Romans 6, to walk in the newness of life. Now, if you do that, then your journey to heaven will have begun. And then you hold fast all the days of your life. Finish that race in faithfulness to God, and you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. If you are subject to the gospel call and invitation, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.